Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. Judges chapter 5. I'll begin reading with verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, notice this, the highways were deserted. I'll explain that in a moment. The travelers walked along by the byways. They took back paths and cuts through the woods because the roads were not safe. Village life ceased. The home, the family, it ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. These two verses from the song that Deborah wrote are pretty amazing. And she was an incredible, incredible woman. She was the fourth judge in the lineage of judges. There are seven in the book of Judges. And God raised up a judge when the nation would get off course. And many of them are famous judges, like Samson was a judge, and Ead was a judge, and Shamgar, great Old Testament story of Shamgar, who I don't have time to tell you about it, but it's a beautiful story. But out of all of that, God chose this woman, Deborah, to be a judge. A judge was someone whose demeanor and nature and wisdom and the way they handled themselves had such respect in the community that when the community and people got off and had hard questions and situations to deal with, they would judge that situation. And God raised up this woman named Deborah as a judge, a major leader in a male-dominated society. She was not the norm. She was a judge, not just there, but she decided. She was the deciding factor in situations concerning the culture and the nation of Israel. And not only that, but she was also a prophetess. There are seven prophetesses in the Old Testament, women upon whom the spirit of prophecy came upon, and they prophesied, women like Hannah, and she could prophesy things that happened way before they happened, and one of the seven is this woman named Deborah. But what I want you to notice is the Bible said that she was raised up when a man by the name of King Jabin, who was an evil, evil Canaanite leader, for 20 years oppressed, attacked, and enslaved the nation of Israel. He was cruel, he was mean, he was wicked. He tried to destroy everything that Israel believed in their God, tried to make them worship multiple idol gods. And the Bible said the way he did that is he occupied the highways and the roads, so that if you traveled, it was not a safe journey. And families would be attacked, and they would be victimized, and they would be in terrible rapes and abuses that would take place. The cities were not inhabited. The streets were empty because Jabin's men were all over the streets, and they had taken control of the direction that the families would go. And they used back roads to get anywhere. And it was in this horrible situation, in the days when the highways were unoccupied, the scripture said, the travelers didn't get to go down the main highways. People avoided the main roads. The roads were deserted. Listen, this is the point. The roads that this new oppressor took and offered them were dangerous. It was dangerous to go down those roads for your children, for your children's children. The things and the places they were wanting to take them to would ruin and destroy and decay the families of Israel. It was dangerous to put your children in a wagon and go down these paths that Canaanite culture had for them. And it was in that kind of culture that Deborah said, I arose. I took a stand as a mother in Israel, not as a warrior. And she was. She fought. She literally fought and pulled out her sword. But she didn't say, I took a stand when I saw the road that they were wanting to take my family down was dangerous and detrimental. She said, I did not arise as a warrior. I did not arise as a judge. I did not arise as a prophetess, although she was all of those. She said, the thing that I recognized and I knew that could turn the nation around is I arose as a mother. The spirit of motherhood came on me. And as a mother, she said, I decided enough is enough. You're not going to send my babies down that road. That road won't lead to life. That road won't lead to freedom. That road will not lead to victory. That road will not lead to God. And it was a mother who said, if the men can't change the nation and the direction that our children and our children's children are going, it's time for the mothers to stand up with the spirit of motherhood and say, these roads are dangerous. They're wanting to take our families down. But as a mother, she stood up. There's an amazing verse. I preached a whole sermon on this one time. 1 Samuel 27 in verse 10. When Achish, the king, said to David, where have you made a road today? Where have you built a highway? Where is the road that you're building taking us to? That's a good question. Every day of your life, you're building a road to heaven or to hell. You're building a road in your thinking to God or away from God. You're building a road for your family that is going to take them into toward God and goodness and the truth of this book, or you're building a road going in the opposite direction. In Deborah's time, the roads were dangerous. And she saw that the roads were detrimental to the welfare of her children and her children's children. And she said to herself, my children are not going to go down those wrong roads. What they are sending and what the direction they're sending our families in is not right. And she said, we're going to fix these roads. That's what I like. I don't like just talking about the negative. She said, if there's no men in Israel that'll get the job done, you get a mama bear on the job. You get a mama who's upset about the way and the direction they're sending her babies. And I guarantee you she'll get something done. Her children, she said, I'm going to fix these roads. We're going to get people back on the right roads. We're going to get children and families back on the right roads. We're going to let the Canaanites, we're not going to let them direct the direction that our families go. We're going to control the direction of the roads and where they're taking our children. We're going to feel safe again when I get through. This is a mother. And I like the fact that she said, I didn't arise as a warrior. I didn't arise as a judge. All it took was me to arise as a mother. She did it because a spirit of motherhood came upon her. She arose to rebuild roads that her children and her children's children could walk on. No more hiding behind rocks and taking back trails with our faith. We're going to build roads that we know will make it. This new stuff will not keep a family together. This new stuff will not take them to heaven. This new stuff of whether you can't believe if you're a man or a woman biologically by looking in the mirror, that road will not lead to happiness, peace, and a good family. We've got to have a spirit of motherhood. A motherhood. Proverbs 31 gives the description of the quintessential mother. And it begins to describe her. And it says, the perfect and beautiful and elite mother that he describes in his writing says, her price is far above rubies. She's not for sale. Her husband trusts her, and she has no need of spoils. One translation said, she's on top of everything. This is the kind of spirit of motherhood that has to come on a whole generation of mothers. She's on top of it. She, if something's going on with her children, if something's going on in her school, if something's going on in her world, in her babies, she's on top of it. She does good and not evil. She seeks wool and flax, and she works willingly with her hands. She's a worker. She's a doer. She gets busy. She makes things happen. She makes things happen for her family. She's a worker. She makes sure that that house is right, that that family is right, that those kids look right. They don't run out with a booger on their nose, on their face, and hair all messed up going to school and dirty clothes. She is a worker. She looks after those babies. She brings food into her household from afar. She wants to know, what are they eating? She's into their diet. She's into, are they eating healthy? She's into what's being put into their bodies. This is the spirit of motherhood that cares about the, not just eat this sugar and drink here, take that and just get away. And eat, here's another McDonald's and another. I'm not preaching mean at you. I'm just saying the spirit of motherhood needs to come on a whole generation. And we build our children up. We build our children up in every area. The Bible said she brings food into her house from afar. She rises up while the sun is not yet up to take care of her household. Isn't that amazing? She's up early. She's making it happen. She's getting the kids' clothes ready. She's doing, what's he doing? He's supposed to be going to work too. And if he's laying in there, do like Sharice does and do the pans and pots real loud. It's amazing how noisy it gets if the trash is not taken out early in the morning. Bam, boom, it sounds like a construction crew moved in. Amen, let's keep moving. She, listen to this amazing mother. She considers a field and buys it. Don't you limit her just to housework. She's a brilliant entrepreneur. She has so much more in her. She finds a field and buys it and turns it and flips it for a profit. She's smart in business. She plants a vineyard. You'd think you got all those children, all the work going on, the house and all that, but she's multitasking. She's buying a field. She's planting a vineyard. She's running the whole show. She plants a vineyard. She girds her arms with strength. I wrote down, she goes to the gym and she's got awesome arms. And that's why she wears those cutoff dresses that show that part. She's amazing. She's got great arms. She lights a candle and it doesn't go out at night. In other words, after she gets the babies to sleep, she's up taking care of this, doing that, taking care of this. This is the spirit of a mother. She makes clothes for her family. She stretches out her hand to the poor and the needy. She models to her children. She gives. She's a giver. She cares. She speaks and trains them. How do you look at the poor? How do you help the unfortunate? What do you do? She models that. That's a spirit of motherhood. Just teaching a family, the very spirit of the home is one to care and to love hurting, especially hurting people. It says that she prepares her family for cold winter. She sews and clothes them with scarlet, with tapestry. Her covering is silk and purple. In other words, all of this coming from a spirit of motherhood. Her children are dressed sharp and they look sharp and they're taken well and bathed well and kept clean. This is the spirit of a mother. Her husband is known at the gate. She makes him look good. Just the fact that he's married to her, people listen to that dummy. Just because he's married to her. She makes fine linen and sells it to merchants. She's figuring out, I'm going to make some money over here too. And I'm buying a field and I'm planting a vineyard. And bless God, I'll sell this and make some money too. Strength and honor is in her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Listen to this. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. When she speaks there, she may get stern and she may get strong, but there's always this tone of kindness and there's always this tone of mother cares. She looks well to her household. She's all over it. She knows everything. She can hear things three rooms away. She can hear something ain't right, and she's got eyes in back of her head. She looks well to her household. That is her priority. That is her number one thing, is she looks well. She's all into it. She looks well to her household. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Mom, you're blessed. Her husband praises her, the text says. And many daughters have done well, but you, mother, excel them all. Deborah was like the Proverbs 31 woman. She stands out, and the world was in bad condition when she came on the scene, and when she got through with it, it was in a better place. She contributed her success to the fact that I arose as a mother. The thing the world and the nation needed was mothers. Mothers that say, you're not going to do this to my children. We're not going to live like this anymore. The Bible has many powerful mothers. Mothers like Sarah. She was so powerful. She gave birth to Isaac. She's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, her dedication, her devotion, her protection of her family. Her contemporary Hagar is also mentioned. These two women, because of the casting of their shadow, affected the world. These two mothers gave birth to that which would become the nation of Israel. One of them, Sarah, and the other would give birth to Hagar, the Arab nation, and God loved both of those nations. They left a lasting impression and changed the course of history. And then there's Rebekah, the mother of Jacob, the mother of Israel and Esau, and that long-term effect that she had when she had a son named Jacob, that God turned his name to Israel, as I preached last week, and that became the whole nation. Then there was Leah. Leah, a mother who was not in a perfect marriage, who was in a marriage and her husband didn't even love her. The Bible tells us this. He didn't even love her, but she gave birth to Reuben and gave birth to Simeon and gave birth to Levi, from which the law came. Moses came out of that tribe. She gave birth to the tribe of Judah. Out of an ugly marriage, this mother, because she was a great mother, gave birth to the tribe of Judah through which the Messiah would come. And Issachar, the understanding of times, and Zebulun, those that write with the pen, all of this came out of an ugly family situation. And yet when she was a great mother, she produced tribes that changed the world. She began to cut a new road and build a new road that the Ten Commandments would come down, that ultimately the Messiah would come down. And it came out of an ugly situation. Hannah was the mother of Samuel. What if that woman had not poured and prayed for her son? She wept in the temple. She prayed for her son. And that boy was the one who had the discernment to see King David, a shepherd boy, and pour oil on him and say, he's not a shepherd, he's a king. Even Bathsheba. We give her a bad name, but she didn't choose to be with David. David walked out on his balcony, king of Israel, and he saw her bathing. He shouldn't have been peeping. He shouldn't have been creeping. He shouldn't have been on. And then the Bible said he started reaching out to her and inquiring of her. Why? You're a married man. What business do you have? And then he sent for her. She didn't have a choice. The guards went and picked her up and brought her to him, and he knew her. And he got her pregnant. She didn't have much to do with it. But this woman named Bathsheba that has a bad name, do you understand that Proverbs 31 is almost certainly written about her by her son Solomon? She gave birth to Solomon, the wisdom of that man, the power of that man, the wealth of that man. Her fingerprints were all over his success. He built the temple and the glory filled the temple, but her fingerprints were all over his life. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? What must it have been like to raise the Son of God? I could go on and on, but what role did that mother play in his life? I'm going to ask her when I get to heaven one day, what was it like raising him? Did you ever whip him? What was it like? Did you ever come in and see him reading the scrolls and tears streaming down his face? That was God in flesh. What was it like? The Virgin Mary giving birth. What was that like? When he was working in the carpenter's business, holding nails and hammers. What was that like? What an astounding impact. These mothers believed the Holy Spirit, heard the voice of God, and began to build a different road in societies that said, this is the way you're to go. You're to worship all these demon gods. But they said, no, we're going to build roads, and our babies are going to go down. And suddenly all these guys start showing up. Elizabeth, build a road. And here comes John the Baptist, and here comes Messiah, and here comes Moses, and here comes all of these world changers, Isaac and Jacob, and all of these tribes. They came out of women who had a spirit of motherhood upon them, and they changed the world. I thought about the mother of James and John. The Bible called James and John sons of, Jesus called them sons of thunder. You know why he called them sons of thunder? I believe it's because they had a strong mother. Can you see this woman? The Bible said that she pulled Jesus aside one day. And I'm sure the people were surrounding Jesus and the disciples acted like bodyguards. And she just said, you better get out of my way. I'm going to talk with him. And she grabs Jesus and she says, now, I know you're building the kingdom. Can you just see her? I could just see her. Yeah, I know you're building, talking to God in the flesh. I know you're building your kingdom. And when you build it, I want you to put John on one side and James on the other side and give one the right hand and one the left hand. A power. You can choose which one gets the right hand, but I want my babies to be successful, and I mean I want you to give them this. She was bold. That was a bold mama. She wanted the best for her babies. It's a spirit of motherhood. When I think about how these mothers, the roads that they cut and cleared. Where have you made a road today? Where are you making a road today? Your prayers make a road. Your example makes a road. Your church attendance makes a road. It's part of the culture of your family when you do this on a regular basis. You're making a road either closer to God or further from God. You're either making a road to be more like him and to be pleasing to him, or you're sending in and cutting a road that goes the way of the flesh. How much safer is the world because their babies had a road to go down that the mother prepared? How many lives did those mothers restore? Think of the Ten Commandments. How much better is the world because those mothers made a road? Here we are today, and we are the recipients of their actions. Even Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, looked down at his mother, and he made mention of her and said, take care of her, because she took care of me. One mother can affect history. Such was the mother known as Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley, I want to tell you, was a great English woman, but she had impact on American history as great as any woman in our history. Her sons were born in England, and her family was born in England. She was a young girl that had 25 brothers and sisters. And she was the youngest of the 25 children. My mother is sitting down here on the second row. She came from a family of 28 children. Breathe. Once she wrote these words, "I will tell you of what I've observed when I was young and too much addicted to childish diversions." What kind of childish diversions did she have back in the 1700s compared to the diversions that young ladies have today? "But I determined never to spend more time in mere recreation in one day than I spent in private Christian devotions. I will pray more than I play." She was married at the age of 19 to a young, and history records, a sometimes very foolish minister. Because of his rash and crazy decisions, he kept the family on the brink and verge of poverty all the time, and she had to step up because he never would. Over the next 19 years, she gave birth every year to a child. She had 19 children in 19 years, 9 of whom died as an infant, including 2 sets of twins. Another one of her children was accidentally smothered to death. Another child was crippled for life by a tragic accident. 2 times, their home was destroyed by fire. The second time, her 5-year-old son, they got all the children out that were with them still, which would be 10. 9 of them had died. And they got 10 of the children out, 9 of the children out, and there was only 1 left, the 5-year-old son. And he was up on the second floor, and though they tried, they could not reach him. And she heard him screaming. And she dropped to her knees, and she began to cry out for God to save him. And instantly, in that hot moment of heat, as that child's face appeared in the smoke on the window, and there was a man who was standing, another man jumped on his shoulders and broke open the glass of the second floor, reached in and grabbed that 5-year-old child and pulled him out. And as soon as he pulled him out, they said the roof caved in and the whole house went up in smoke. His life was saved. She experienced so many hardships. Finally, her foolish husband left her and the children over a minor dispute. And she wrote this letter with the tongue of kindness. Listen to her, lay him in the shade. "I am a woman. I am also the mistress of a large family. And though the superior charge of their souls lies upon you, their father, yet in your long absence, I cannot but look upon every soul you have left unto my charge as a talent committed unto me under a trust." She says these words, "I am not a man, I am not a minister." She's just letting him have it. But then she makes this powerful statement. "Yet as a mother and the mistress of this house, I feel I ought to do more than I have done. I have resolved to begin with my own children, which I observe the following method. I will take as much time as I can and spare every night to have discourse with each of my children apart from one another. On Monday, I will talk with Molly. On Tuesday, I will talk and spend time with Hetty. On Wednesday, I'll meet with Nancy. On Thursdays, I'll give special attention to Jackie. On Friday, I'll take care and show attention and listen and talk to Patty. On Saturday, I'll talk with Charles. And on Sunday, I'll talk with John." And she had 3 more. And then she said, "I start it all over again." She was indeed the primary source of the children's education. And some of you are younger and you don't even know and recognize the name Wesley and Charles Wesley and John Wesley. So let me help you with American history. The reason that the church is here today, 35 major denominations, the Methodist denomination and all Pentecostal denominations came out of one preacher by the name of John Wesley, her son. We are here today and millions around the world because of one mother. Listen to this. She indeed was the primary source of the children's education. Under no circumstances, she said, will her children be permitted to have any lessons until they reached their fifth birthday. At their fifth birthday, their formal education began. She held class with them for 6 hours a day. The first day, they had to learn the entire alphabet, and all of her children did it in one day. Only two of them managed not to do that, and she said, and I'm quoting, those two children seemed to be backwards, quote, unquote. But she got them through, and all of them learned Latin, Greek, and English, perfect English. Her son, John Wesley, wrote books that preachers like this one study to this day and get material from. Why? Because there arose a mother in Israel, and revival hit America. If you go back to the 1800s, revival hit America, and it came because one of the sons preached. His name was John, and the other son, Charles, wrote hymns, and those hymns are famous to this day. It all came because a mother said, I'm going to cut a different path. The daddy is not here. He's not doing it. But I don't have to let these children go down that road that leads to destruction. I will cut a road if I have to by myself, and God will help me. She wrote these, and I'm almost done. Can I give you a few more things from this woman? She wrote rules for kids. Here's her top five rules for her kids. Number one. Subdue self-will in a child and work together with God to save that child's soul. That's a sweet way of saying, when they are full of rebellion, get it out. Subdue self-will in a child. King Edward VIII said, the amazing thing about Americans is how well they obey their children. Number two, Suzanne said, teach a child to pray as soon as they can speak. Number three, she said, require them to be still during family worship. Amen, amen, amen. The spirit of motherhood. Give them nothing they cry for, only that which they ask for politely. Comment and reward, reward, reward good behavior. And lastly, teach children to fear the rod. And she gave birth to John Wesley and Charles Wesley, and they turned the world upside down with revival. This amazing mother cut such a road that it affected two nations, England and America. She said this, I am content to fill a little space if God be glorified. I guess what I'm preaching is we're only passing through this life one time. And if you're going to fill some space with you and your family, make sure that God is being glorified with that space. We have to cut roads for our children and our babies. And I want to close with this. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of preacher. And in the days when the road that they were taking them down was dangerous, a mother arose. I want to ask you a question this morning. Will it matter how much money you have in the bank 100 years from now? Will it matter what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive? What we do with this, our children, in this space that we have here and now, is all that's going to matter. And I want to say something to parents. God gives an A for effort. Sometimes you feel like you failed. Sometimes you feel like you don't cut it. Sometimes you feel like you've just messed up as a parent, and you probably have. But God gives an A for effort in parenting. If you just keep trying your best to turn back to this book and what it says and cut that road and cut that road and lay that road and lay that road, God gives an A for effort. Spirit of motherhood, I'm trying to stir it up in this place. Don't let the TV raise your children. Don't let the daycare raise your children. Don't let the school system raise your children. Don't let anybody raise your children. You put your hands on them, and you be the one that has great influence in their life. One of these days, you're going to exhale for the last time. The first time you inhaled when you were born. But there is a breath that you're going to exhale, and you will not take it back in this world and in this life. And in that moment, I want to know that Jesus is there. And I know He will be. And I'm going to tell you why I know it. Because my mother, sitting right down here, made a road that leads all the way to streets of gold. If I'll just stay on it, I'm gonna grab two hands. I'm gonna grab a nail-scarred hand, and I'm gonna grab the hand of my mother, because she cut that road for me and for Doyle and for Richie, for Jennifer and for Jill. She cut that road for all of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And I thank God for it. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to go see Courtney for 1,000 years. And then I'm going to say, now 1,000 years with the Lord is one day. And so I'm going to go see Carissa for 1,000 years. I'm going to go see Caroline for 1,000 years. I'm going to go see Connor for 1,000 years. I'm going to go see Drake for 1,000 years. Go see Mom for 1,000 years. I'm gonna go see Pat, my mother-in-law, for a year. I'm just cutting up. I had to do that there. I didn't do that in the first service. Lord, forgive me. Where did that come from? I am so sorry, Pat. I love you. You know I love you. But ain't it gonna be glorious when we get to heaven? And the question I'm trying to get you to understand is, your family's not going to get there by accident. The road that this world is taking them on is dangerous. It's void of God. And if you just say, well, I'm going to let them make up their own mind, then they'll probably end up lost and undone. But when you as a father, you as a mother, begin to make that road to the house of God, back to the Bible, back to Jesus, it's not just about you, but it's a road for your babies and your babies' babies. And one day when we all get to heaven, it's going to be worth it. I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.